I was 7 or 8, singing that song, listening to that and singing, and the power of God just dropped. And I had to hide behind the big curtain in the bay window. My God, my God, my God, my God. I had no idea. My parents took me to church, and I knew they loved God, but I didn't really know what it was all about. But I know I had an encounter. And he kept me safe through those teenage years and all the way through. But the time I reached my mid-30s, I thought, I've got no testimony. Absolutely no testimony. And I went and made an appointment to see my pastor. And I told him my story. And I said, I've got no testimony. Because there were testimonies coming through that were so dramatic and so different. And that's what made me feel as if I had nothing. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened, and he said, you've got the testimony. He's kept you safe. You are blessed. You are blessed. And I'm very blessed to have our 3 children who were on fire. And actually, God woke me up last night, and he said, do you remember what I told you when your youngest was 6? We had 3 children in 3.5 years, so it was like 6, 7, and 8. And God said, isn't that the same age that I touched you? I've touched. They knew, they'd actually given their hearts to the Lord. But he said to me the words, make me their Lord. In other words, they'd come via me, but now they must take on him as really their Lord. So for those that have come to the Lord later in years, be encouraged. Look at the inheritance you're leaving. For those who have... all your children haven't quite come to the Lord. Think of the seed you've sown in there. Keep watering it. They will come. They will come. God is a faithful, faithful God. He really is faithful. When I first met Graham, I thought he was nice. After 6 weeks, I thought he was a pompous old so-and-so. And he thought I was a right old so-and-so because I was so shy. And I couldn't say boo. I think on our first date we said 2 or 3 words to one another. And he thought, oh, I've got a right one here. And after 6 weeks, the night that we were actually going to break up, I didn't know he was going to break up with me, and he didn't know I was going to break up with him. But we were involved in a very nasty car accident which I should have been killed in. Praise God, he delivered me again. And we're just coming up to 36 years of marriage, isn't that awesome? But I was still very crippled with shyness, and it wasn't until I was in my mid-30s, I was going to a prayer group, we're part of the Anglican Church, we'd had 6 weeks of a course, and the lady, she was a medical doctor, she had just come back from Nepal, and she said, what do you want to do? And we were all very, very quiet little people, like little mice. And we all actually said, we'd like to do something for God in leadership. And she looked like a real stunned mullet. She said, what? These little quiet ones. But something had spoken into her hearts. So she said, well, if that's what you believe, then I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to challenge you to step out and take up that opportunity. And I went out to the car. It was the most dreadful storm that night. And I put my head on the steering wheel and I said, God, not too soon. Not too soon. And he said, excuse me, I can hear those words still. Excuse me. Did you not say that you were going to step out with me and come with me? I didn't know I was to come with you. And so I stepped out. My opportunity came 2 or 3 days later to take a Cub Zone, which is a little church service for 120 people. Isn't God good? He just gets me in boots and all. And all I can say is that I honor my word to my God. And I do, I still step out. I find it very challenging. I can't believe I'm here with you this weekend. I just thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a real privilege. And I just do this as an honor to my God. I sacrifice, I put the shyness, I put the inadequacies on the altar very regularly and burn them up and say, I'm stepping out for my God. I just like the gentleman just to finish that chorus again. As an honor to our God. How great is our God. We've all got testimonies. I have a testimony. I have a testimony, and God can keep us safe and God can deliver us. And I think we can all say amen to this as we sing this song. Thank you so much.
I'm just going to move this a bit closer, just so that I can see some eyeballs. And I often wonder if I'm short-sighted or long-sighted, but God helps me to see things sometimes when I'm a bit closer, you know. So I encourage you. Funny enough, you're talking about where God has placed us. That's the sort of first little sentence I put on my message, Graham. I said, God has strategically placed his children in key leadership roles in the midst of the nation and our world for a time such as this. So that's what I first started off with. So I believe that that is for us. God has placed us in key positions, men and women. No matter what you do, God has put you in a place where you can be effective for the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to really take hold of what I want to say to you tonight, because I believe that there's a key in the church, there's a key in our lives that often robs us of the destiny that God has for us. So I've titled my message, Destiny Calls. And destiny does call us all. It just really depends on us, you know, how obedient do we want to be to that destiny that calls. When God calls, he doesn't make a mistake, does he? You know, and I'm going to use a little bit of Gideon's experience to explain to you that when God calls us, you know, often fear can rob us. And Gideon was busy trying to save himself when the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, I want you to save a nation. And you know what Gideon's reaction was? He said he didn't have any strength. But the angel of the Lord said to him, go. And I want to say to you, often it's in the going that God will equip us, will release us. And often the Lord says to us, his command right in the end of the Gospels was, go to all the nations and make disciples, or make disciples and go to all the nations. And you know, in that going, something is released in us that becomes mighty in God. But we have to do something. We have to go. We have to take that decision to say, God, propel us forward in what you want to do. Take us and move us. You know, often we get so stuck in a place that we don't want to move. But God kept moving Israel. He didn't let them get camped in one place too long. Because if they did, they became too comfortable and too settled. So God keeps moving us on as people because he wants to encourage us to do what he's called us to do. You see, obedience rates higher in God than any attempt of understanding the commands that he gives us. It's so important. Gideon was busy in the wheat press trying to siphon some wheat off for himself when the Lord spoke to him. You see, the wheat represents the harvest. The Lord says to us, the harvest is ripe. It's ready for harvest. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. And we are called as believers to be the workers in the harvest. You're not called with the Spirit of God upon you and in you, because God is looking for somebody else. He's looking for Gideons. And you know, even though Gideon, the scripture in Judges 6:12 says, the Lord is with you, a valiant and mighty warrior. That's what the angel said to Gideon. Now I want you to turn to the person next to you and say to them, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Now you might not believe it, but please say it. See, if we can believe that about ourselves, we'll know that we are mighty in spirit and in deed. That's who God called us to be. You see, Gideon wasn't a valiant warrior. He was gathering wheat and preparing to flee from the place that he was at. And that's often us. We want to flee before we finish or before we fulfill the purpose to which God called us. Don't flee too soon, church. Don't flee too soon from the task that God's given you. I believe as a church and as individuals, we often give up when breakthrough is just at the, you know, at the threshold. We've got to press through in our businesses. We've got to press through in the call of God. Don't give up at the 11th hour when God's going to come and he's going to pull you through and he's going to propel you on by his Spirit. It says, nevertheless, the angel said and called him a mighty warrior. Why do you think that happened?
Because God always has a higher opinion of us than we do of ourselves. And that's really important. God thinks a lot more of us than we do of ourselves. Ephesians 2:20, and I love what the scripture says. It talks about us. He says, "We are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." That's what scripture says about us. God ordained it before the beginning of time. When God talks about creation, He created heaven and earth. But before He did that, He created us. We were God's plan before the physical world was made. It says God ordained us. And it talks about that in Jeremiah. He says, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you." Jeremiah 1:5. It's a powerful scripture. And then it goes on. He says, sometimes through the grid of our failures, we look at ourselves and we look at our failures, but God looks at us through a different prism, through a different way, through a different light. And He sees our future. He sees our opportunity. He sees us as mighty, valiant warriors for Him. He sees us differently. He sees our future victories. But we look at ourselves in a negative light and we say we are not able. We aren't able in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus, we can do it. You see, the fleece that Gideon threw out to God was, he put that fleece out there because he wanted to test what God had for him. And often we put a fleece out, and there's nothing wrong with a fleece. We say, "God, show me, speak to me, confirm your word." And often we want 20 scriptures and 10 prophecies before we will move forward. Often God doesn't want to do that. He gives us one word and says, "Step out on the word I've given you." But Gideon tested God, and God came through for him. See, when God told him to go to the enemy's camp and take his servant with him if he was afraid, it says in the next part of Scripture, he was afraid and he took his servant with him. So, you know, when we're afraid, we need a call for help. Call for your brother to walk with you. And that's what Gideon did. But, you know, fear will often stop us from fulfilling our purpose in God. And I believe many of us in church today and in our call of God have allowed fear to rob us from going through to the next level. We do not have the spirit of fear or the spirit of timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I believe if the church can be fearless in God and, you know, allow the reverent fear of God, but not the fear of man or the opinion of man to be upon us, that we are fearful individuals, we won't break through. So I'm saying to you, we do not have the spirit of fear. That's what Timothy was told by Paul in 2 Timothy 7. He said to him, "You do not have the spirit of fear." You see, perfect love casts out all fear. So only the enemy's camp or the enemy's strategy, his strategy is fear. To get people to do something in the demonic field, they apply fear and they will fearfully do something. But God's kingdom is the opposite. It's love. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's why Scripture says they will know us by the love we have one for another. Because love is the motivation for the church and for us. If we allow that to come through in our lives, we will see breakthrough. You see, obedience was the choice that Gideon had to make. He was fearful, but he said, "No, my choice is to be obedient to what the angel of the Lord has told me to do." You see, as a result, a nation was delivered. You see, you might have a job to deliver individuals in your workplace. You might have family members that you need to speak to, but don't be fearful, because the enemy wants to rob you before you can deliver your word and say breakthrough's coming. So fear is a terrible weapon that the enemy uses against us all. And it comes in different forms and different ways. Don't allow fear to rob you of the best that God has. You see, in Esther it says, "Yet who knows whether you've been called or come to the kingdom for a time such as this." There is a time for us, a special time that God raises us up, and a season that He says, "This is what I want you to do." Doesn't matter what age you are, where you are, who you are, God will say to you, He has an assignment for you. I liked what our brother said earlier this afternoon. Men love projects, but God loves to give us assignments to finish something, to start something, to do something for Him. And often that is the call of God for us. You know, I believe that God's called many of us to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That talks about that in Ephesians. And Ephesians 5:13, it talks about the equipping and the releasing of the saints for the works of the ministry. And as we can equip people in the workplace by the power of God upon them and in them and speaking to their lives, they will rise up and they will hear the call. For the focus on God's purpose is for you, not for fear, that not that fear will be lurking around every corner. And often that's what stops us. You know, God told Adam and Eve to take care of the garden. He said, have rule over everything. And in Genesis it says, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. We are called to have dominion over our circumstances, over our situation, over where we work, where we live. We are called to have dominion. And it's really, I believe, that's the call of us. See, there were two accounts where Jesus wept. One was over Lazarus and one was over a city. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he saw the potential. You see, but God wants us to take care of a city. And taking care of a city, I believe the workplace is the heart of a city. And the businesses that we are involved in, that's the heart of the city. And if we can take care of our businesses, we can take care of our community, we can impact our city for God. And when the city gets impacted, it impacts the nation. And we are there. We're in the center of a city that can make the difference in our workplace. It doesn't matter what you do in your workplace, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a, you know, whether you're a lawyer, you know, whether you're a plumber, whether you're a fitter and turner, whether you're an electrician, it doesn't matter what God has called you to in the workplace. That is your ministry platform. That's where you can touch lives. You can speak into people's lives. You don't have to be on the pulpit. You don't have to be in the church. Your church is in the marketplace. And that's where I believe 90% of us are called to, is into the marketplace, where we can touch lives for God. You see, and that's where the Lord wants us to make things happen. That's where the miracles can happen, is in the marketplace. You know, Gideon had to say to the angel, I haven't seen the miracles. You know, he had doubt in his heart. He said, he questioned the angel's affirming statement by saying, this is inconsistent with where I see things because Israel is attacked by the enemy. I don't see God coming through for us. But, you know, God didn't answer Gideon's questions. He just gave him a command. Interesting, often when we shout to God, we call out to God, he doesn't answer all the questions. He just gives us another instruction. He just says, go on. He said to him, go on in your strength and deliver the nation. See, God wasn't listening to the arguments or to the reasons why not. God gave him the instruction, go on and deliver your nation. So I say to you, go on and deliver those that are in the workplace with you so they will know God is working in you. See, you're an integral part of God's purpose on the earth. He foreknew you and raised you up for a specific time in history. See, we are not a mistake. We're not a cosmic happening, as some would call us. We are in a place and a time where God has placed us for a specific purpose and reason to fulfill what He's called us to do. So we don't just happen. We make things happen in God. See, it's a strength that God's put us. There's an enablement in the very fabric of our destiny that will enable us to fulfill the purposes to which He called us. You know, I love fabric because that was the industry that I've grown up in. I was trained in that area. Fabric has got a weft and a warp yarn that runs in opposite directions, and it gets woven in between, and it makes, you know, it takes a strand, and it weaves something together, and it becomes a beautiful piece of fabric, a cloth. And there's strength in it, there's beauty in it, there's something that we wear. And that's what God's doing to the body of Christ. He's weaving us together because He wants us to be a tapestry that will be effective in the body of Christ. You see, when you bring and you harness in the potential that is here in God, it can affect a city, it can affect a nation. So we are nation changers if we can see ourselves in the way that God sees us. We are not just here because it's a good time. God wants to say something to us all about what He has for the future, the destiny that He has. So, you know, when Gideon was full of doubts, the Lord said to him, I want you to go. I want you to go and tear down those altars that are in the nation of Israel. That was the first task that he had to do. and because there was idol worship in the nation. But I say to you, sometimes there are idols in our lives that we've got to tear down so that God can use us. Don't let an idol hold you back from all that God has for you. Tear it down, destroy it, get it out the way, so that God was interested in his obedience. In spite of the fear, it says Gideon became a hero. You see, worship is our work. We worship God in what we do. And we hold keys to unlock things in people's lives. We unlock the manifestation presence of God when we go into our workplace. When we go in the morning and we walk into the office and we see things, you know, we have eyes to see and ears to hear. But, you know, we see what we look at. You know, your eyes, if you can say, Lord, I've come in, I don't want to look at the physical, I want to have a look at the supernatural ability when I walk in. What are you saying to me, Lord, in my spirit? What am I seeing when I walk into my workplace? Am I seeing a hurting mother? A mother that's lost her husband? You know, am I seeing, you know, the workers in there that are on drugs and struggling to make a living, that need love, that need a breakthrough? What is God showing you about the people around you? That's the sort of sensitivity we need to have. Look with the eyes of Jesus. But the Christians in the marketplace have an authority. I want to say that to you. Exercise your spiritual authority. And the scripture that comes to me is in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the command that Jesus gave to his disciples wherever they went. And if you look at the book of Acts, what happened to the disciples, 95% of what happened to them happened in the marketplace. It happened out in the world. It didn't happen in the synagogue. It didn't happen in the church. There was one incident, I think, in the whole of Book of Acts where a man was healed in the synagogue, and that was when Peter and John came to the gate beautiful, and they saw the man sitting outside by the gate, and they said, silver and gold we don't have, but look at us, silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up. That is the only example where somebody was healed in the synagogue in the book of Acts. It all marketplace, and that's where we are. That's where we touch people. We touch them in the marketplace. So I want to encourage you, what you have, take into the marketplace and speak to those. Embrace your assignment in God. Embrace it. For the kingdom of God is established on earth by you and I. We establish the kingdom by what we say and what we do. Thy will be done in heaven and on earth. Thy will be done, O Lord. And we want to do the will of God on the earth. And so Satan will be defeated when we take back. We take back the land that he has tried to steal from us. You see, sin came in to rob us, but grace came in to bring restoration. And I believe that God is restoring the church. He's restoring us into the fullness that he's called us into. And our bodies were controlled by the devil before we came to the Lord. He's the power of the prince of the air. And we were affected by the way he moved us. But when the Spirit of God came upon us, we became temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, the anointing, the indwelling presence of Christ. He dwells in us, and we are in him. And it's a wonderful privilege to know that Christ lives in us. Let our grace be conduits of God's love. You see, if you allow grace to flow, I tell you what, grace will overcome any obstacle that God has before you. And that's what Gideon had to realize. He had to get his team together. He got his servant together and said, we're going into the enemy's camp. And sometimes you might feel like you're in the enemy's camp in a work environment because you're the only Christian there. But God's put you there to be a light, to be the salt, to be the inspiration, to be his standard. And don't let the enemy distract you from that. You see, when Gideon heard the soldiers talking, when him and his servant came into the enemy's camp, they started talking about the dream that they'd had. And it says, did you hear about the mighty deed that was done? And this soldier said, no, I didn't hear. He said, we were delivered into the hands of Gideon and his sword. They were talking about the dream that he'd have. And Gideon overheard that, and he was encouraged. He didn't have a sword in his hand, but he knew that his enemies had already heard that what God was going to do. You see, God had an opinion about Gideon that he didn't have about himself. See, God was already, sorting his strategy out. It says God also spoke better of Gideon than Gideon spoke of himself. So God looks at you and declares you are a mighty warrior. Believe me when I say you are mighty. You are mighty in God because we are the only belief system in the world that can go along and touch people's lives, speak to the enemy, speak healing, release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We make a difference. Our corporate identity is in the face that we look at. Every face that we look at here, this is our corporate identity, the church itself. And there is mighty men and women with grace gifts, with talents that are given by God. God wants us, if we can harness that together, and that's why often the Word talks about the unity of the Spirit. As we unify and we say, God, use me, God can use you. Because we need to know the season and the time, like the sons of Hezekiah, who said, we know the seasons and the times that we are living in. And they affected the nation of Israel. And, they were able to subdue so that Israel could prepare to go into the promised land. And this is often what I see about the church. The church has not possessed the promises of God. We haven't simulated what God has given us. You see, there is a wilderness and a needs mentality that often comes into the church. And we should not allow that to affect us in the way that we do. We need to take the inheritance that God has promised us, cross the Jordan, because the word Jordan actually means fall down, it means get down, it means run down. And often when we get to the cross, where we've got to make that crossover into the next phase of our lives to do and to fulfill God's purpose, we fall down, we get weak, we don't cross over. God wants us to cross over and get there and say, we're going to get to that inheritance. The Lord has promised us, what is our inheritance? It says, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. That's what He promised the church. The nations are inheritance. So every person that comes into your workplace that's of a different nation, God says, I've given them to you. Share the word with them. Encourage them. Speak to them about God. Because God's bringing the nations into New Zealand. And I tell you what, when I look around and I see the different faces that God is bringing in, it's for a reason. Because His Spirit is going to be poured out on all nations. And God is preparing something here to springboard the nation into other nations. I have, when you have that conviction that God is doing something, that is one thing I'm sure of, that God is doing something in the nation of New Zealand. He's raising up men and women that know who their destiny is. And through ministries like this that aren't bound by names. And, I believe that the biggest hindrance in our churches today is I'm a Baptist. No, I'm a Methodist. No, I'm a Presbyterian. God wants to bring that down, that the name of Jesus can rise up so that destiny can go forth. Don't be hung up on a name. We are children and saints called of God to fulfill a destiny. Don't let names hinder us. If they love Jesus, you embrace them and you get them to be part of your ministry, part of, the full gospel businessman international. It speaks about God bringing men and women from nations into a fellowship that He will pour out His Spirit on. You touch people. The church can never touch people that you can in the marketplace, in the workplace, along the highways and the byways. So don't let fear stop you. And I want to speak to those that are struggling in fear. Tonight I want to pray for those that are struggling in fear so that fear won't hinder you any longer, that you will break free with liberty and freedom. We are called to have liberty of the Spirit upon us and in us. God's purpose and plan is for good. I have a future and I have a hope for the church, He says. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what it says in a future and a hope, if you look at the New King James Version. But I love that word, expected end. There's an end that will come, but we have to keep working until that end becomes, clear to us. God is ready to transform and restore the marketplace and our community. Are you ready? He's watching over us to perform His word through us. I say that again. God is watching over us to perform His word. If we would just allow Him, you see, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has ordained before time began. You see, if we can remember the dream that God gave us, you see, often a dream and a vision is something that God wants us to do now and going forward. See, I believe sometimes the church is looking at the future and we're looking ahead for what God's going to do. But God's often doing things in the now and in the present. God wants to do something through you today and tomorrow. When you walk into your workplace, He wants to use you today, not tomorrow or next week. If today is the day that God says to you, go and encourage somebody, go and speak into them, sow some money into their business, go and encourage them to come up and come out. God wants you to not wait for the future, but to do it now. There's a now thing going on in the Spirit of God. Can we perceive that? Can we see that? Can we see that God wants us to do something for Him now? You see, it's so important that our destiny is released into people's lives with a now thing and not with a past. And often our testimonies are good, but our testimony should be a current event of what God is doing in our lives. You see, the indwelling presence of God should change our perspective, should allow us to recognize we are called in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's Romans, I love what Romans 29:30 says, 8:29-30. It says, for whom He foreknew, in other words, He foreknew us, He also predestined us to conform to the image of His Son. It's a powerful scripture. He says, then He also called, and whom He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. That glorified talks about the end time when Jesus will come. But He says He called us. And that word called is the word call forth in Greek. It means to incite by word. You incite something by word. You call it to come forth. And often people just need that call. They need that invitation. Come forth in the name of the Lord. And we can do that. We can speak into their lives. And we can call them to come out of darkness into the wonderful light of Jesus. You see, all creation groans, it says, for the revealing of the sons of God. Isn't that incredible? The whole of creation is waiting for us as sons to get up and get going in God. And it's groaning because we are not moving quick enough. You know, our greatest need is to be significant. I believe each one of us want to be significant in God. And it's a cry and a call of our heart. God, use me. I want to do what You've called me to do. But often God just wants us to step forward and allow His Spirit to just work through us. And we take some risks and we say, God, I'm going to step forward in the best that You have. I love what Ephesians 1:11 says. It says, in whom He also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purposes of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Isn't that powerful scripture? Powerful about our destiny, the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That's us. God has a dream and He wants us to seek it. As we seek Him, He will reveal His will. See, our relationship with Him is key, church, to our destiny. And there's some things in dreams that I want to mention to you about. There are three things I want to leave with you. Dreams are specific. When God gives you a dream or a vision, it's specific. It's for you. It's not for somebody else. If somebody else hears your dream, they will often not believe it. They can't handle it. It'll be like Joseph when his brothers heard his dream. They couldn't handle it. They put him in a pit, and that's where they left him. And so you have to be careful who you share your dream with. Share it with men and women that can encourage you to go forth. The man, it says, as 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, a man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So we have to be careful who we share our dreams with. And then the second one is, dreams are often outside the realm of the expected. I love what Craig was sharing. Often our dreams are not exactly, he was talking about our prayer. Sometimes God has got something out there for us, but we're always looking this, we're looking inward. God wants us to look outward, because somewhere outside that realm of the unexpected, God wants us to move. You see, often, you know, we if we tell somebody about their dream and they speak to you, they look at you in disbelief and they say, you've got to be kidding. You know, if you're going to give up your job and you're going to go into ministry, who's going to pay you? Who's going to look after you? You've got to be kidding. How can you give up a job as a CEO? Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? See, the natural mind will fight the things of the Spirit. They will tell you, you cannot do it. You cannot cross over. You cannot walk on that water. It's a good word that on God is calling us to walk on some water, to take some steps out of the boat. The third thing is, dreams will separate us from those that are just follow us. You know, often, you know, God is calling us to be leaders, to take some leadership initiative and do something that's separate. It doesn't mean you have to be a leader of a company or a leader of an organization. God's calling us, each one of us have leadership ability. But he's saying to us, are you prepared to just be different, not to live by sight, but to live by faith? You see, and when we live by faith, we can often not see what the future is. But God wants us, you know, to look with eyes of faith. Faith is the only thing that's in the Bible where it says, faith pleases God. So if we can have faith to see beyond. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 1:15, and he said to him, spoke to him in a dream, and he said to him, fear not. He said, I am with you. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. See, as Abraham knew, he had to go forth. It was in 1:15, chapter 15, verse 1. He just in chapter 12 had just come out. God said to him, get out of your land. Go to a new land, a land that is not of your fathers. I will bless you. I will prosper you. He said, those that curse you, I will curse them. Those that bless you, I will bless them. But as he was going along that journey, God had to say to him, fear not, because I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. You see, fear came into his heart. So if we want to follow a God-given dream, we've got to remember that faith is required for us to step out. So I want to say to you, don't let fear rob you. I just want to, you know, just speak briefly about a vision that the Lord gave me, just to encourage you a little bit further. Sometimes God has to get our attention to speak to us in a way in the Spirit. And, you know, I was walking along the river when we stayed in Auckland along the East Tamaki River, and it was the evening, and I often used to walk along the river and pray in tongues and pray to the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me tonight? And in the clouds, as the sun was setting, I saw these clouds start forming. And as I walked, I saw two trees. These clouds looked like two trees in the sun, and the sun was shining, setting, but the glow, they became red. And the Lord started speaking to me about the two trees that were in the garden. And in Revelations 1:7, it says there was the tree of life, and then there's also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the two differences were that Adam and Eve ate from the tree that was of good and evil. And God, and it spoke about death, but God wants us to eat of the tree of life. So in this parable, as I saw this, God started speaking to me about devotion, our first love. You see, if we can eat of the tree of life, and the fruitfulness that can come from this tree is the tree of life that we can commit to, because out of us will flow life. It said, the Lord said, take time to listen to me. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. So God started talking to me about the armor, about the schemes of the enemy. And then He said to me in Revelations 22, in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And it says the tree of life represents abundance. It presents every necessary thing to sustain life. The Lord wants us to eat from the Spirit of God. See, and I know that, you know, as the Lord started speaking to me in this and I started writing it down, He says, I've not chosen you to leave you in the pit. He said, the pit is often my hand that comes upon you to fashion you, to mold you, to change you, to bring you into a place where I can take you into the fullness that I have. And often we will go into a hard place, but God's fashioning us and He's molding us because He wants us to be, you know, that prime minister that He's called us to be, like Joseph was called to be for the nation, not only of Egypt, but for the nation of Israel, to save a nation when there was a famine. You see, and if God is doing that to you, you see, He fashioned Jeremiah, He fashioned Jonah, He fashioned David out of hardship and out of places of bondage. And I knew that the Lord was speaking to me that often when we're in difficulty, He starts fashioning us. And He starts putting us into a place where there is death. See, when Jonah went into that belly of the fish, he thought he had gone into death. But God had a job for him to do. And sometimes God has to take us and allow the pressure and the heat to come to mold us. You see, for that diamond to be shiny, there needs to be a bit of heat and a bit of pressure applied. And God sometimes does that to us. He applies a bit of pressure and a bit of heat. You see, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that that fire had been stirred up, you see, they had to have a different type of faith. They had to have a furnace-type faith that they knew that they would get through that fire. They said, our God will deliver us out of the fire. So, you know, often we have to trust God that much that when we're in a fire or we're going through a fire, we have to say and believe God is going to deliver us out of the fire. And that's what I believe God is doing. He's delivering us out of the fire. So I want to say to you that as I went through this time where God started speaking to me, He said, I will lead you and I will bring you by the engineering of your circumstances. He said, and I will make your heart to be pliable. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our hearts. You know, if we say, God, change my heart, I want to say to you, God will change your heart. Sometimes our hearts are hard, but God wants to start working in our hearts, and He'll change your heart a little different to what you imagine. So don't let your heart ever become hard, because when it's soft and it's pliable, God can turn you, and He can speak to you, and He can mold you, and He can talk to you, because your heart has become pliable in the hands of the Master. And He starts putting us on the wheel, and He starts fashioning us in a way that will make us quite different to the way we see ourselves. But it takes the Spirit of God to come in and say to us, I'm purifying you. He's purifying His body, church. He's bringing us with a mark and a sign of His power upon us. You know, there's a power of God that's coming into the church that's going to make the world stand up and take notice. There is a power coming by the Spirit of God for those that are available. Don't miss the hour to which God is calling us to arise into, church. Because there were many when the Spirit of God came and Jesus was born. Only the angels and some of the shepherds knew that God was about to do something new. And many missed the visitation of God. So I'm saying to you, let the message of grace, let the message of hope of Jesus preparing His bride to be effective. Let it be a now thing. Let it be a now thing. Don't wait for when, you know, we hear of revival. God wants to start revival in our hearts sooner than what we realize. He wants to stir us up so that we can, you know, just allow the Spirit of God to move through us. I've been encouraged to hear, as Craig has shared, about revival around the world. But I believe God wants to do something in New Zealand, in the workplace, in our cities, and in the nation. Are we available? Are we saying, God? Are we prepared to cry out to God and say, Lord, you know, heal our nation? Lord, we want to cry out to You with a desperate cry of revive us, O God. Revive us. So my cry is to you, let us get hungry for God. Let us get desperate for God again so that He can move in our lives and change the nation through mighty warriors that we are called to be. So if any of you are struggling with who you are in God and that fear has gripped you from becoming who He's called you to be, I would like to pray for you tonight. I really would like to say that God has got much more for you. Don't let fear rob you. Don't let the enemy hold you in bondage or in darkness any longer. Let God move by His Spirit so that we can be free in all that He's called us to be. So I'll encourage a few people quickly. And I just sense that some of you have been through difficulty, but that's okay. remember that God is about to pull you through when you've been in hardship. Is that okay? God loves you and He wants the best for you. Michael and Irene, I encourage you as a couple. I believe that you have a heritage in God. And what you've sown into the previous generation, God has seen. And I believe that, Irene, God has got much more for you. He's calling you to, as a woman, to arise into the fullness that He has for you. I just sense that there's so much in you that is bursting to come forth. There's a ministry in you that God is calling to arise. I just really want to say to you, you know, your destiny is in God. And He's saying to you, you're a woman of destiny. Somehow you've held back and you've waited for circumstances to change somewhat so that you can rise into it. But God's saying, come on. Between you, we can partnership. And there's much we can do in the kingdom of God. And I believe the two of you are key. Michael, you need to link together and start ministering. There's so much more in you than what you realize. Take the responsibility and run with God and say, God, we know there's more in this season to do. Michael, you're a man of honor. And God wants you to rise up and see that you are mighty in Him, a warrior for God. So I speak that into your life tonight. Don't let fear rob you of all that He has for you. You're a good man, a man of purpose that God wants to release in this next season of your life. Can you get it and go with it in God? Release the power of God through you and in you. Because you couple can impact many for God. I see many couples, many families coming to know the Lord in a greater dimension than what you realize through you and in you. So rise into it in God. Maureen, I just want to encourage you too. I really sense that there's something really that God has deposited in you. The mark of God rests upon you. And I see that in such a strong way. There's a stature in you that God is causing to rise up. A woman of influence for God. And you can touch many lives and influence many because of who you are in the Spirit of God. There's an authority in your ministry. There's an authority in you that I believe will touch your community, will touch homes that you minister into. I see the two of you, Keith, going into homes and just speaking into people's lives and bringing them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You are nation builders, Keith. God has put much in you, brother. And He's saying to you this season, raise up men that will be effective for Me. There's a mentoring, there's an equipping ability in you for the works of the ministry to the fulfillment of the purposes of God in people's lives that He's called you to say, come on, between you and I, we can partnership and we can develop and we can come up with strategy. God has given you visions and opportunities and new ideas. You're a man of strategy, of ideas that God wants to use to multiply what He's put into you into other people's lives. Keith, there's so much there. And I'm saying to you, look beyond just your borders. Look beyond. Look big. Because God is stretching your tent pegs. There's a stretching taking place in your heart. And God's saying there's a capacity of more of Me that I want to use in wisdom and opportunity and strategy for the kingdom of God that you need to grab hold of and run. And make the difference. You're a community builder, brother. And God is saying to you, get to it and do it. Because it's in the going that you will see the purposes. When you look back and you say, gee, how far has God taken me? How far has God used us to touch lives for Him? So, you know, I see you traveling in the nation, going from place to place, giving people ideas and strategies for God. And in the, your own ministries, the Full Gospel Businessman International Ministry Fellowship, God is going to use you to go to other nations to touch men and speak into their lives. There's something in you that God's caused other men to be inspired by, other men to be lifted up, Keith's on our case. We better get this job done. And Keith, you keep it up because they'll get there because you're behind them. pushing them along, you know, kicking them along in a good way. You know, when I was in a seminar in Malaysia, and a man came up to me, I had my badge on. He said to me, you know, where are your badges? He said to me, because sometimes it can be a prophetic word. He said to me, there's something wrong with this name of yours on your thing. So I said, oh, what's that? He said, it should be Lens with the S there. And he says, you must take out the N-E-R and just put butt there. He says, because I see you as a lens. You're looking at our lives. He says, but the B-U-T-T, he says, you've come to kick our butts. So I want to say that to you, Keith. You've been called to kick some butt and get them going in God. There's something there about you that will get them moving. Don't kick them too hard, eh? Do you agree with that? He's a butt kicker, yeah. Better not let that nickname stick, eh? you're a good man. And Noel, I just want to encourage you too. I just really sense that there's something in you that's brewing, that's cooking, that's incubating in God. There's an incubation of the purposes of God in you that you need to, you know, just allow to flow in opportunity and new insights. And, you know, I see you moving around a lot and touching men, and even in your business, I believe you're placing godly principles in businesses that will really see fruit in the end of its season. And they will be like that tree that's planted by the river that will be have its fruit that will be so impacting into lives, because God is using you to just put the right principles in place in business. And you're a man of integrity, a man that will know what's right, and you will speak it, and you will go with much influence in your society, in your community, and in the cities of the South. But God's going to use you, because I just sense that you're going to be more involved in the church than you are in business in the years to come. But that double equipping that God has given you in the marketplace and in the work and in the church is going to be a great asset to you and to those that you minister into. God's put his hand on your life to minister the love of God, the power of God by change through revelation of Jesus Christ. There is a revelation ability in you that I believe is going to come into the fullness that God has for you. So let God speak through you, touch lives, bring them out, and you mentor those young men, because they're going to come to you and say, touch our lives, brother. We need to have what you've got. They want what you've got. So give it to them. Bernice, I didn't share with you the other day. I realized when I jumped from Esther to your good man, wherever he is, and I missed you out, but there was something I wanted to say to you as a woman of God. You've sown wonderful seed into young people's lives. You're an intercessor, one that stands in the gap as well. I just really sense that there was some calling and crying out that you've been doing for many lives in God. And God has given you a passion to pray and intercede for things that seem like they're impossible. But I want to say to you, know that God is raising you up to be an Anna that was before the Lord and ministered in the temple day and night to call forth God's purposes. And he's given you a burden, often for your city, often for the lost, and for the hurting and for the downcast. But he's saying to you, Bernice, your cry and your call has come before me. And I believe that, you know, it says that even our prayers go before the, you know, the ears of the Lord as we cry out to him with a heart of purity and purpose. So you're a woman of real honor, and I honor you today because God is using you more than what you realize to touch lives for him. So you rise up and you equip those ladies. You equip them in the things of God that he's called you into. You've got an incredible heart for God. And God will see that and bless you. Your crown is in heaven for those who faithfully seek his face day and night in the temple. You're a good lady. So God is raising up men and women that have a heart of prayer. I want to encourage you about one thing in prayer. You know, when we got together some men and we started praying, and one of the you know, sometimes you get a request that can come from a long way. And this request came from my mother and father in South Africa, and I was distant from them for quite a number of years. And they couldn't get out of a house that they had bought in a retirement complex that wasn't working out, and there was some unrest in the area and a lot of break-ins, and they were really quite unsure and unsettled where they were. And I said, God, we need to find them a place to go. and it was hard. They had to get their place sold and find somewhere else. But I got on my knees and I prayed. But it took 18 months for God to answer the prayer. And I want to say to you, God doesn't often answer prayer straight away. But He's called us to be faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer as our sister is faithful. Don't give up. You see, what God did was He spoke to a lady totally unrelated in a dream. She gave this lady a dream of the house that they were living in, that my mom and dad were living in. But in this dream, this lady saw the house with green roof, green shutters, and a white house. But then in her dream, she also saw mine dumps, and she saw a shaft going up and down. And then she saw a crocodile farm. And she couldn't fathom this out, so she started phoning her. And she said to my husband, she told her husband the story, and the husband said, "Look, I think you've had too much pizza. That's not going to happen. Forget it." And so anyway, she was determined. She phoned around. She found an estate agent and said, "Look, do you have a house in this area where there's a mine dump and a mine shaft?" And she said, "Well, there's a lot of houses for sale here. We just can't sell them." But the lady said, "No, this is a particular house. It's green roof, white walls, green shutters." The lady said, "Well, it's a long shot. I'm not sure, but there is a white house. I'll tell you that." So she said, "Well, is there a mine shaft there?" She said, "Yes, the mine shaft's a discontinued mine shaft, and sometimes it goes up and down when they're working on it to dismantle the shaft." So the lady said, "Oh, so things are getting a bit hotter." So she said, "Well, is there a crocodile farm around there?" She said, no, sorry, you've got the wrong place." So she said, "But I tell you what, there's a crocodile street there." She said, "Oh." So she said, looked up in the, she says, "Number 4 Crocodile Street." And she said, and she turned it up, and there was the brochure, greenhouse, green roof, white house. She says, "Number 4 Crocodile Street, there's a couple, elderly couple that want to sell their home. Do you want to have a look at it?" She said, "Yes, I'll go and have a look." She sends her husband. Her husband phones her and says, "He has a greenhouse, a green roofed house, white walls, green shutters, and it's number 4 Crocodile Street, and this is the house." And he explains it to her. She says, "That's the house I saw in my dream." Told her husband, "Put a deposit on the house, I'm buying it." She says, "Well, why don't you come and have a look?" She says, "No, that's the house I've seen, buy it." They paid them the full price, and my mom and dad moved out in 3 months' time. They gave them the time to move out, and they moved to another retirement home down on the coast. But you see, God can hear our prayer, He can hear our cry. It doesn't matter, He will move upon somebody in a different city, in a different nation, to say, "Listen, pray and trust me, church, trust me, because we are people of destiny." You see, when we call and we cry out to God and God touches individuals to pray, something happens in the spirit. And God is doing that. He's, releasing men and women that have a real cry and a call for intercession for the nation of New Zealand. When I look at New Zealand, it's a sending nation. We have sent ministries to the uttermost, to many other nations across the world. From the uttermost part of the world have gone men and women of destiny that have touched the nations. But I tell you what, God's going to pour back what we have sown to the nations, because as we've sown, God's going to pour back and something's going to springboard from here. I'll share this with you quickly because I know we're running out of time. But what happened to me was I was traveling on an aeroplane and God spoke to me on it, and I shared this prophetic word when I was in Australia with our prophetic team in Australia, and this is what God said to me about the nation of New Zealand. I said the first impression I had was as we were going, there was a great shaking taking place in the nation, a physical and a spiritual shaking. The nation would experience and I don't want to scare you here, but I really sense there would be like an earthquake. It says, as the shock was being realized, this would open the nation to the glory of the Lord to come upon the nation. And the scripture came to me in Haggai 2:7-9. It says, "And I shall shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give you peace, says the Lord." And then I believe the Lord was saying, God would deal with the ruling authorities in the nation when we allowed sin to come up and the sin of wickedness had come in the area of perversion. And I believe over every nation there's a spirit that tries to control the nations. We read that in Luke, where Luke spoke about the prince of Persia controlling the nation. And I believe that we've struggled against the spirit of perversion that has come upon our nation. And I want to say to you, when you pray, pray against that spirit, because the result of that spirit, church, is it talks about hatred of God, homosexuality, lustfulness, perversion of the gospel, pornography, rebellion, lovers of self, turning the truth, twisting the words of God, wounded spirits, wrong teaching. Those are the things that that spirit causes to come upon the nation. But as the church arises, we can counteract those things. You see, God is calling us, and I felt that the Lord then took me to Joel 1:14. He said, consecrate a fast, consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly, call the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord, and cry out to our God. And I believe we come into a place where we're going to get desperate and we're going to cry out to God for the nation. You see, because this nation in the South Pacific will bring great signs and wonders. And this nation will be used like a threshing instrument to fulfill the purposes of God in the nations. Is going to be established in this nation, I believe, like the latter rain will be much greater than the former rain. So God's Spirit will be poured out. Be poured out on this nation, and the glory of the Lord will come from the east, and His voice will be heard like many waters. The country of the long white cloud will be a forerunner in the things of the Spirit. The voice of the prophets of the nation will be heard. They will have eyes to see like the eagle, and they will proclaim my will with an authority that comes from my Spirit. They will be ambassadors for me with a message of love, mercy, and grace, and divine healing. And signs and wonders will follow these ambassadors to the ends of the earth. For many will come to see what God is doing in this place. The God of hosts will rise up with healing in His wings. And I believe that with all my heart, that God is raising up ministries of healings, Craig. God is raising up ministries of healings. And I believe that He's going to use you in that area far beyond anything you thought or imagined, my brother. You know, as I've been talking, I just felt the Lord just to say, encourage you, because there's going to be an impartation of your ministry into other men and women that are going to have the same heartbeat as you, Craig. And they're going to go forth because you're going to lay hands on them and you're going to impart into them what God has put in you. And it's going to be like Moses when he touched those 70 elders and the Spirit of God came from him. See, it wasn't God took the spirit that was upon Moses and He imparted that onto the 70 elders, and they went forth in the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you that as you find the time, the Kairos time, the Kairos moment that God says to you, lay hands on men and women of destiny for the healing upon the nation, that God will call you to rise and impart the healing gift that He's given you into many, that the Spirit of God will move and healings and miracles will come and stadiums will be filled, because God is raising up men and women to do what He's called them to do, that His name would be glorified. And I encourage you that God is calling you to touch. You're going to come back to this nation, my brother, and impart what God is calling you to impart around the globe. But you'll come back here filled with the Spirit of God, because you're going to know this is going to be a base that's going to springboard others into the destiny that God's called them. So you're a forerunner of the things to come in God. God is saying that adventurous spirit He's given you will be a forerunner spirit upon the nation. So keep going, brother. God is going to use you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Graham. I better stop now before I get too carried away. But yes, keep going. So anybody who needs prayer tonight, we're happy to pray for you and encourage you a bit further. Those that feel that fear has been an obstacle in your life, we'd like to pray for you. And I think any of those who feel they need healing, we've got Craig and any others here that want to minister in the leadership, please. The platform's open, and don't go if there are things that you need to deal with tonight. God is here, and we can trust Him for breakthrough in people's lives.